Hello, and welcome back to the Cursed BenHeck.com podcast, episode 70. Woo!
Third time's the charm, I guess.
That's what she said.
Yes.
We've had some technical issues tonight, probably because of ghosts or our incompetence, one or the other. Probably ghosts.
Yeah, or the latter.
Anyway, once again, our topics today are the PlayStation Move. That's its name now.
You may be asking, what the hell is that?
Well, the PlayStation Move is a dildo-shaped controller for the PlayStation 3.
Formerly known as the PlayStation Arc, or just the Sony motion control thingamajig.
And formerly known before that as the Wiimote.
Yes, and Nunchuck.
Yes, that's right, because it has that Nunchuck thing next to it, which doesn't have a name yet.
Yes.
Because they haven't thought of one yet. They're like, what if we called it the Nunchucker? Like, we don't want to get sued. I mean, it's basically ripping off the Wii already. What can we do?
They could call it the Cockbot. That's what they should call the whole controller, the Cockbot. There it is.
Well, tell you what, why don't you buy one and you can, like, magic marker Cockbot on it?
No, I don't think I'll be buying one of these. No thanks.
Ugh. Let's see. So we're going to talk about that again, hopefully if the computers don't fuck up.
Yes.
And
we're running Macs today, by the way, so that's...
That's a lie. Oh, yeah. I finished my pinball machine.
Oh, yes.
So we can talk about that, sort of,
in other news.
Let's see.
Fucking daylight!
Yes. I'm glad. I was worried that we were going to jinx the Hurt Locker by putting the near dark mode in. But apparently it's okay.
Yes, maybe it helped the Hurt Locker.
Oh, yeah. It's like the last voter was like, you know what? I want to help Near Dark be in that pinball machine. I'm going to vote for Hurt Locker.
That's right.
Fucking daylight!
Yes.
If you haven't seen Near Dark, it is a vampire movie that was directed by Catherine Bigelow, director of Hurt Locker, more than 20 years ago.
Academy Award-winning director, Catherine Bigelow, even.
Right. And it was a bunch of vampires, and they went around recruiting people. It was kind of like a dark version of Twilight. And yes. Anyway, Bill Paxton was in it.
Yeah, don't let the new DVD artwork fool you.
Yes, it is nothing like Twilight.
Which is a good thing, of course.
Yeah. Things actually happen in Near Dark.
Yes.
And in the pinball machine, what was it, redneck kills we came up with?
Yeah.
And the sun, Tails like, well, what if there was a sun on the board and it blinked on and off, and if the ball went under it when the sun was on, you die. And I'm like, okay. And there was the last bit I had to, like, add a light I used for the sun. Then I made, like, nice. A little a sun icon out of acrylic, and then, yeah, below it is, like, a yellow light. So if you're in near dark mode, if you pass under the sun when it's dark, you get points, or near dark. But if you pass under it when the sun's on, what does it say?
Fucking daylight!
And then you die. The mode ends. Yeah, so
yes,
that,
the pinball machine will actually electrocute you at that point.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Fucking daylight. Yeah!
Yeah, the part in the movie where he says, give me two shots of whatever donkey piss you're shoving down these cocksuckers' throats, he says it really quietly, so it wasn't really usable for the machine.
Yeah.
But fucking daylight, he screamed out pretty good.
For those of you out there questioning whether or not you should watch this movie, you should be convinced by now with quality dialogue like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's got pretty much the entire cast of Aliens, and it's got Lance Henriksen, Jeanette Goldstein, Bill Paxton. Okay, well, that's all that counts.
It's got a few, anyway.
No Michael Biehn, but he's
unfortunately
in Navy SEALs with Bill Paxton.
Yes, but not Catherine Bigelow.
Right. But Catherine Bigelow was in that Reach video for Bill Paxton.
Yes.
She, like, brands him on the butt with an iron. She's like a cowgirl.
It's probably just a typical day at the Cameron household.
Yep. Maybe that's why they got divorced.
Yeah, she was moving in on his turf, Paxton's ass.
James Cameron got jealous. He's like, screw you, I'm going to move on to wife 10. Although apparently he's still with that granddaughter chick from Titanic on the Oscars. So, man, that's like 10 years for Cameron. That's amazing for him.
She must have some, like, blackmail photos or something. Or he got drunk and forgot to sign a prenup. And he's like, ah, god damn it. I got all this Titanic money that I would lose if I divorced her.
She probably is like, I know you directed Piranha 2. I will tell the world. We should rent that for Shitty Movie Night.
Yeah, I've still never seen it.
I've seen the first one.
I think that's the only movie of his I've never seen, actually, because he hasn't directed very many movies, actually.
No, it's pretty easy to keep up on the Cameron filmography.
Yeah.
There's a couple of Spielberg movies. Actually, there's, god, what is it? I didn't see The Color Purple, Always, Amistad, or that's it.
Yeah, I haven't seen Sugarland Express.
Oh, that one too.
And then Always and Color Purple.
Always, this doesn't look interesting to me. It's like, what, Richard Dreyfuss is a pilot or something? Or
yeah.
But it's
Richard Dreyfuss!
What the hell?
I age unnaturally.
Yeah. I am the invert of Morgan Freeman.
I guess they balance out the equation, you know.
So. Morgan Freeman comes up and he's like, Richard Dreyfuss, you are aging very quickly, unlike me. I never age. I am time man.
Thank you.
Visa.
I did like that in the Oscars where, what the hell was that? There was some sort of, it was where they were explaining sound design, actually, and so they used, like, a scene from Dark Knight, and it was actually narrated by Morgan Freeman, and it was funny because they introduced it, and they're like, oh, and it's, you know, narrated by, you know, someone you're quite familiar with or something, and then it starts out, and he's like, hello, yes, I know I'm in the audience right now and probably shouldn't really be narrating anything, but they asked me to do this, so I will. And so then he goes on and, you know, narrates the whole thing, explaining sound design and mixing and stuff. But it was just kind of funny that they had a little jab at that, since he does seem to, you know, be on a ton of commercials and all sorts of things, because he does have an awesome voice.
His voice never ages either.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher aged pretty hard, too. Well,
she lived pretty... Well, Dreyfuss probably lived hard, too.
Because like, you look at Return of the Jedi, Carrie Fisher's like, what, 23? And she looks a lot older than that.
Yeah, but she was coked out of her frickin' mind.
She was a Lindsay Lohan of her day.
Basically, yeah.
Coked out of her mind.
Because, yeah, it's like she goes from, like, you know, this little, like, you know, China doll almost in the first Star Wars, you know, to being like she goes from being 17 in the first Star Wars to being like 35 in Return of the Jedi. It's like, no, it's like, you know, half her life hasn't passed. It's like, it's just been 6 years.
Richard Dreyfuss!
I don't know, Richard Dreyfuss is like, looks like he's 100 or something.
Yeah, well, God. Well, he disappeared for quite a while, you know, like he wasn't really in anything. And then
maybe that's when he underwent his transformation.
Yeah, because then he showed up in that Poseidon thing.
With Kurt Russell.
Which I've still never seen.
It's okay.
It's better than I expected. Didn't Wolfgang direct that?
Yeah, it's not very Wolfgang-y, but...
Well, it's in the water.
Oh, speaking of Wolfgang Peterson, so... Jones lent me Bioshock 2, and I've been playing it, and it's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, it is pretty much the same game again, but I'm not that far, though. I don't know how far I am. I think I just got to, like, Dionysus or Dionysus, something like that, and I had to drain some water.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how far that is.
Did you get to the part where the room's flooding yet?
You mean after the first part? Like, pretty early in the game that Big Sister breaks that window? Not that
scene?
No,
there's a different part. There's, like, this preacher guy that you run across.
Oh, I saw him, but then he ran away, so I've got to find him. So.
Okay, so you're in the realm, then.
Okay.
Yeah, the game, yeah, it has similarities to the first game, obviously, but as you get further into it, it starts to branch off in its own direction, I would say.
How far am I into it?
Not too far, really. I mean,
oh, really?
You're probably, like, what, a few hours in, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what I was getting at was, you know, as I'm playing it, I just keep thinking about, I'm like, how did they build this fucking city at the bottom of the ocean?
Yeah.
It's like, where does the oxygen come from? Wouldn't it be freezing? I mean, like, if this water came in, that water would be freezing.
Oh, God, yeah.
But then, of course, you know, you're also shooting lightning out of your hands.
Yes.
So, I guess anything goes.
Well, see, maybe in BioShock 3, you'll get to see, like, you know, the inner workings. It'll be like in Matrix Revolutions, you know, when they went way down in the basement and, you know, you saw all the machines down there, you know, keeping them alive.
Ah, the irony.
Yes.
Well, they did have that part in BioShock 2 where they go to the museum and they have, like, those dioramas of how they built Rapture. I thought that was cool.
That stuff was awesome, yeah. It was a nice way to shoehorn Andrew Ryan into the game, yes. which I appreciated.
The farmer trades the strength of his arm for his crops.
I love that.
No!
I love that when it's like the little, you know, 1950s scene where, you know, the parents are sitting on the couch and the girl's up by the TV. And then, like, I can't remember what he all says before that, but then he's like, no! And this big freaking hand comes in the door and, like, grabs the girl and drags her out.
But, you know, as I was going through Journey to the Surface, I'm like, you know, Andrew Ryan's, his ideas aren't that bad.
No?
Because he's, you know, what the government cannot regulate, it bans. What it can regulate, it taxes. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yep. Andrew Ryan knew what was up.
I'm Andrew Ryan. Oh, I did get the 9 irony achievement thanks to Jessica Chobot.
Cockbot. If you're listening, that's purely a flattering term. Obviously. Yeah, I have to get that achievement still. I didn't even know about it until I saw the Cockbot video describing it.
So. Yep. She's like, pick up the 9-iron and throw it at Andrew Ryan for a big bonus. That's my impression of her.
Yeah.
That's Mary.
No, she's like, yeah.
Woodman. Mary was the blonde president's daughter in Posthumous Woman.
Yes.
We always impersonate her at all times.
She's a good sport about it, though, so.
Because when she says things that she says.
Yeah. She, like, becomes, like, self-conscious.
And then halfway through it, she's like, that's right. Yeah. She knows she's saying it. Oh, God. Anyway, so yeah, BioShock. I mean, it's kind of leaky, but it's like, man. Also, who restocks the vending machines? It's been like 10 years.
Yeah, I know.
It's been 10 years since the society went to shit.
Maybe they somehow, like, regenerate.
That's my problem with Idiocracy, the movie, which a lot of people think is good, but I thought it sucked.
Oh, that movie sucked.
Like, who the fuck built all those machines in the future? If everyone's so stupid, how did everything work?
Yeah. True.
I mean, I can sort of buy it in a video game because, you know, again, you've got lightning flying out of your fingertips.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Idiocracy sucked.
Yeah,
people,
I don't.
People can talk that movie up all day long. I'm not listening. It was a bag of shit.
Yeah, you know, maybe the studio, you know, buried it for years for a reason.
Yeah. I do need to see that new movie from him, even though it's probably not very good.
Extract?
Yeah. It's got Bateman in it, though.
And J.K. Simmons.
Yes. Who are both in Up in the Air.
Oh, yeah.
And Juno.
Oh, J.K. Simmons was... Oh, he was in Cider House Rules, too.
Was he?
He was like... Oh, he was Charlize's dad. He didn't say anything in it, but he was in it.
God. See, I haven't watched that since, like, you know, J.K. Simmons became a household name, so I guess
right.
I just... wasn't even aware of
so
that.
So Tobey Maguire was like, hey, you wanna be in my next movie?
Why not?
I'll be in your movie. That sounds great.
I'll fire your ass.
What was a movie where Katie Holmes was like on a fish hook?
The Gift?
Yes. He was in that too.
Yeah.
And
that was a good movie.
Yeah.
And Raimi directed that, so that's part of the Spider-Man connection as well.
Although I have to admit, I think Keanu Reeves is probably the world's least convincing redneck. I'm sure no one in Hollywood's ever actually met a real redneck.
No,
they probably think
not.
That's what a redneck is like.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, they just fly over, you know?
Okay, here's a question. Now that Sandra Bullock has won an Oscar, how much skinnier can she get? I mean, could she, like, become a skeleton?
I hope not, because she looks pretty good how she is now.
I know, but, you know, maybe she's going to pull Jennifer Connelly and be like...
I don't think she will. She seems like she's very much her own person from everything I've read and interviews I've seen. Like I read in Entertainment Weekly a few months ago, like when all the Oscar hype was coming along for Blindside, and
right.
You know, they were like, "Oh, well, you've had these two, you know, hugely successful movies this year. You know, you're getting all this Academy attention and all that, and you know, what's your next move?" And she's like, "You know what? I'm just not going to do anything for a while," which I thought was pretty cool. You know, because it's like obviously she's getting offers all the time, and really she doesn't do a lot of movies anyways. She just happened to have like a couple, like three come out this year, because there was that All About Steve that she won the Razzie for, and showed up to accept, which was awesome. But yeah, I don't know, she's not like super prolific generally, and you know, she's like married now, and she's got like stepkids and stuff, and I don't know, she just seems like she kind of marches to, you know, the beat of her own drum, kind of like Jodie Foster that way, where they just kind of, you know, wait till something shows up that they're interested in, and then they do it.
Like Nell?
Yep, which I've never seen, but it's like, you know, instead of just doing any shit script that falls in front of their face.
So you don't think she's going to pull a Halle Berry and do, like, Catwoman, or a Charlie's and do Aeon Flux?
I don't think so.
Or Nicole Kidman and do Stepford Wives?
I wouldn't think so. I still think she'll, you know, do a romantic comedy here and there, and I'm sure she'll get some more, you know, dramatic offers. But, I mean, she was in Crash. It's not like she hadn't done drama before. And
wasn't Meryl Streep in that It's Complicated movie, or am I thinking of someone else?
Yep, she was in that.
And she has won Oscars before, even though she's just usually just gets nominated.
Yeah. Well, that's what's great with her, is she, I mean, it's like, you know, look at the movie she does. She did, like, Mamma Mia, which, I mean, is basically, like, a romantic comedy musical. And then you've got, you know, It's Complicated, which is just a romantic comedy for, you know, like, middle-aged people. And it was really funny and all that. And, you know, she kind of seems to, you know, go all over the place. Like, she did that Julie and Julia movie, and she did, like, Devil Wears Prada, and stuff like that, so, and her movies make money.
And she was in Bridges of Madison County with Clint.
That's right.
It's like, I'm going to take some photographs. I'm only 10,000 years old in this movie. So apparently he's making another movie.
Jesus. Well, it doesn't surprise me. He probably figures the minute he stops making movies, he'll die, so he's just going to keep making them.
Yeah, I guess.
Because he's going to be 80. In, jeez, like, a couple months.
Damn. Well, Betty White is older than that, and she still moves around.
Yeah, she's almost 90.
So she was in The Proposal?
Yeah, she's pretty funny in it, too, because she plays...
Wait, let me get this straight. Betty White was funny in something?
Yeah, what a shock, huh? But she was Ryan Reynolds' grandma in it. And, like, Mary Steenburgen's in it as his mom, and then and Craig T. Nelson's his dad.
No, there's a lot of people in that movie.
Yeah, it's got a good cast.
Oh, I saw this, it was some sort of advertisement for Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, if you could go back in time in a Hot Tub Time Machine to the 80s, who would you sleep with? And it was like a couple of people, and one of them was Betty White on Golden Girls.
Was Tawny Katane on the list?
Oh, I don't remember. All I remember was Betty White. Remember, she was in Lake Placid, which is a great shitty movie.
Oh, God, yeah. Feeding the alligators.
Like, I just wanted to feed these alligators.
Yes.
Oh, that was a great hunk of shit. We need more movies like that.
Do we?
You know what I can understand? All these people that cannot tell Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton apart.
I have to admit, like, 10 years ago, I would get them confused. Like, just the name, like, I had a hard time connecting it in my brain. Actually, it was a little more than 10 years ago, because it was before I really got into movies.
Yeah, they have similar names, and I guess...
And they're in kind of similar movies a lot of the time, especially, like, back in those days. You know, like, independent, you know, like, big movies.
Bill Pullman was in While You Were
Twister
Sleeping with Sandra Bullock.
Stuff. Yes. But, so, I can kind of understand it, because I used to have that problem, actually.
I guess.
But nowadays I can't see it because, I mean, who the fuck even hears about Bill Pullman anymore, sadly enough.
Was it Borderlands where there was an achievement that said, who made that man a gunner? That was in Borderlands, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's one of the challenges where you get, like, experience points for it. I think it's like when you fire, it's some ridiculous amount of bullets, because it keeps track of how many bullets you fired.
Oh, man, we gotta get back on that horse one of these days. It's been like a week.
Yeah,
I just bought Bad Company 2, so, ugh. God.
So how is that?
Well, let's see. Well, as you know, this is Verona, and it's been rainy, so the interconnection has not been very good.
Well, did you try the campaign at all?
Or? I played the first mission of it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's basically the campaign of it is just like, it's, you know, basically a campaign. It's not really... Well,
Nothing special?
No, it's good. It's just, I'm just saying the other Battlefield games really didn't have a campaign or single player, but it's basically like...
Like Call of Duty or something. Yeah.
It starts in World War II. It's pretty cool.
Oh, really?
And my God, it looks awesome.
I know the screenshots I saw, like, online looked pretty cool, like how they took, like, real backgrounds and then blended them into the game.
Kind of like Gran Turismo 4.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah, it looks very good, and you can destroy everything. We were playing it last night, and we were in the Seaside Village, and we're getting our asses kicked, and basically, by the end of the round, the whole village had been just flattened, so there's really nothing to hide behind.
Yeah, I remember I played the first one a bit on the Xbox.
Yeah, that is a wireless mouse. You can just pick it up and take it with you.
Then I can hold it and set it over here or something.
That's right.
But I played the original a little bit on the Xbox, and I thought that was a really cool element, like the destructible environment stuff, because it's like you got some building and there's some prick in there shooting at you, and it's like, I'll just take my rocket launcher or my tank and just blow the shit out of the building.
What was the campaign like in that? I mean, was there one?
Yeah, it was just kind of, you know, I remember the dialogue being kind of cheesy and lame in it. Like, it seemed like they had kind of issues with that, but the actual gameplay was fine. I mean, that one's set in World War II, and, you know, it's just kind of your typical World War II type thing. Not quite as serious, I would say.
Oh, I thought it was modern.
I thought it was World War II. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know. I didn't play it very far. I only played, you know, a couple hours worth of it.
You can knife people in the game.
I could have swore it was World War II. I could be entirely wrong.
And I got my defibrillator paddle, so I can be, like, super medic.
Nice. That's right. Modern Warfare 2, I've still never gone online. Probably never will.
I played, like, maybe 2 hours total. So I've already played more Bad Company.
Yeah. I don't know, I just don't care about it with certain games. Like, Bioshocks was pretty cool, but for the most part, who gives a crap?
Yeah, I'm not really interested in the Bioshock one. Well, everyone in Mike's server has it now, so, you know, I can go on there. I could go on there right now, and there are probably, like, 5 or 6 people playing.
Yeah, well, that helps a lot.
That's probably what I'll do after the podcast.
Well, that helps a lot when you have people you know that you can play with. That's why I played the living shit out of Lost Planet, because I met some cool people, and they were on, like, every freaking night, and just jump into a match, and you knew you weren't going to be saddled with douchebags, and if a couple snuck in, everybody, you know, would deal with them appropriately, and...
You remember that night when I came over, and we were doing the teabagging?
Oh, that was funny that was the demo of it. I remember that.
Oh, really? It was just a demo.
Because I downloaded it, and you're like, oh, here, let me try this out, and then, yeah, you're going around, like, teabagging people and stuff.
I teabagged some people last night, too, in Bad Company.
I can't believe it.
It's actually easier because the crouch is actually, you have to hold it.
Okay.
You can't just toggle crouch, which means it's a lot easier to go up and down, just tap C. So actually, it's better for teabagging than other games. Yeah.
I'm sure that was a big consideration when they were making the game. How can we make it easier to teabag people?
I guess like the response to that game has been a lot more than EA expected. Like their servers were kind of overloaded.
Had problems, I guess, last weekend and stuff.
There's problems last night, actually. Like nobody could get into the master server list.
Oh, really?
For probably like the first hour, we just sat there trying to get that to work, and then it did, and then it pretty much worked.
Yeah, I think I read something where they said they've had like 5 times the load, like, of any other Battlefield game that's come before it, like on their servers.
It seems like a lot of people knew about it. I mean,
yeah.
It was definitely on people's radar.
Well, they've been pushing it for quite a while. So.
And they definitely took advantage of the animosity against Modern Warfare 2, at least the PC version. I mean, if you watch like videos or whatnot on about Battlefield Bad Company 2, I mean, they don't come right out and say it, but they make very obvious digs at Modern Warfare 2.
They're like,
if you have a computer, it takes advantage of the computer's higher processing power, and blah, blah, blah. And it's pretty funny.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to play it some more. I just bought it, you know, so I haven't really got in there, but I will.
And what game haven't you bought? Final Fantasy 13.
Oh, fuck that game. I've never gotten into those games, and I never will.
The only ones I ever did were two on the Super Nintendo. For whatever reason, I borrowed that from somebody, and I played through that one. And then 7 on the PlayStation. For whatever reason, I played through that one. But yeah, for the most part, like, Japanese RPGs just do not do it for me.
I've heard that, like, the first 14 hours of the new Final Fantasy is just boring, tedious.
It's like tutorial, almost, I've heard it described as.
And then basically the whole story is just like a straight line. There's, like, no branching to it at all, which seems kind of backwards in today's world of, like, Mass Effect and Fallout and whatnot.
Yeah, a guy I work with, he was all, like, jacked up to get it and stuff. And
did he get it?
Yeah, he picked it up and he came in yesterday. He actually took today and tomorrow off just so he could play it. But he came in yesterday, you know, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's pretty good. You know, he's like, I've only played it a few hours, but he was liking it so far. But he's a big fan of Final Fantasy anyways. But he was talking about how there's, like, a lot of cutscenes in it and stuff, especially, like, early on. And you know, I was asking him things about it, like, you know, is it like just a movie where you sit there or do you get to interact with it? And he's like, no, you just get to sit there. And, you know, I got to thinking about it. It's like, you know, that's one of the really great things that, like, BioWare did with Mass Effect is it's like there really aren't cutscenes so much. I mean, there's a maybe here and there, there's a little bit.
Well, there's dialogue and you talk and you're part of it.
Yeah, but for the most part, you get to interact and kind of guide the cutscene. You know, and you get to participate in it instead of just being like, oh, good, I get to sit here for 2 minutes and watch this, you know, which is something that Metal Gear Solid 4 suffered from as well.
It is a good story, but it's like literally 50% cutscenes at least.
Because it's like, I mean, I haven't played that game yet, but I watched a fair amount of it being played, and it's just like you'd see sequences in it, and it's like, man, it'd be kind of cool if you actually got to, like, play that. You know, instead of watching it or whatever, you know, and so I think that's one thing that's great also with Mass Effect, which obviously I love from previous podcasts, but is just that
this just in.
You get to be engaged in the game, like, all the time, and you get to be, you know, determining the course of the game, even during those cutscene-type sequences.
You get to be engaged all the time, like Liz Taylor?
Yes. It's like, oh, you delivered my mail
today.
Yeah, well, I guess
it's the Japanese versus Western design philosophy.
No.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah, well, I guess it's the Japanese versus Western design philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just never gotten into that stuff too much. I mean, those couple I played, but, like, Blue Dragon, I tried to play that, and I just couldn't get into it. They always have, like, those annoying kid characters in them, where they're just, like, this whiny little fuck. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to go save the world and blah, blah, blah. And I guess there's an annoying character like that in the new Final Fantasy.
And don't forget you had to have some sort of mythical flying creature.
Oh, of course.
Or a chocobo or a cockabo. What is it? Chicken things?
Chocobo, I think it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cockbot!
Choke-a-cock.
You know, Jones, if you were to ever meet Jessica Cockbot, I mean, Chobot, I mean, it would be hard not to pronounce her name wrong, and then you'd be, like, embarrassed.
But then I'd win, what was it, $100?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I bet, Jones, if we go to E3 this year and if we meet Jessica Cockbot, I mean, Chobot, I told him if he called her that to her face, I would give him $100. So never mind.
Yeah.
Now, you can even make it like you mispronounced it. All you gotta do is say it.
Just say it.
All you have to do is say it in front of her. You can even be like, oh, I'm sorry, I meant, you know. I mean, I'll know, and I'll look away so I won't laugh, or not even be there. Wait, I have to be there.
Yeah, you have to be there.
Validate it.
I don't know if I'd have the stones to pull that off. It would almost have to be, like, just a reflex, like you say, where I'd see her and be like, oh, it's Jessica Cockbot. You know. It almost have to be like that, where like my brain just, you know, fires it off without thinking.
Or you could make it sound like your brain, you know, had an error.
Yeah, I could just be like, "Oh my God, it's you, it's Jessica Cockbot." She's like, "What?
Security!"
And I'm like, "Oh my
Charlie
God,
Murphy!"
I'm like, "Oh my God, sorry, no, I meant Chocobo. No,
I've watched all your videos."
Oh God. Yes, $100 is
$100
on the line.
It will be yours
if we go. So,
oh, you know what we could do? We could. It could be a two-way bet. The first one to say it gets $100.
Oh, but then it becomes like a competition.
Hmm.
Wonder if there's something else incriminating you could do at the show.
I don't know. Oh, apparently it's 50 degrees out.
Yeah, balmy.
What? Steve Ballmer? We really haven't talked about the PlayStation Move. I think I'm doing that deliberately so I won't jinx the recording.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
That's okay. I think people like it when we bullshit.
Yes. I would imagine so. So what do you think the deal is with the masculinity of Kathryn Bigelow's films?
What do you mean, the deal? Like, why? Or?
Yeah, like, pretty much all of her movies are very, like, male type films.
That's what
I
mean. I thought
say.
That when I watched Hurt Locker, I'm like, yeah, her films are extremely masculine. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you got like what, Near Dark, Point Break, Strange Days,
K-19,
Widowmaker.
There's got to be some other shit.
There's
in there
probably
too.
Something else. Oh, she did. She did that Weight of Water movie, which that wasn't a masculine movie, and it fucking sucked. I watched that thing. Not good. But for the most part, you know, very much like movies you would think a man would direct, I guess.
Well, of course, since most, by and large, most directors are male. I mean, male guys are also directing all these fucking Kate Hudson, Matthew McConaughey romantic comedies as well.
That's true. It's not just Nancy Meyers and Nora Ephron. Although they do their fair share as well. But
so what do you mean? What do I think of the masculinity? Or like, what? Why do I think it's there? Or
yeah, kind of the why, I guess. Like, is it maybe her way of being accepted, or is that just what appeals to her? I mean, I imagine it has to appeal to her on some level, but...
Well, I mean, you know, maybe just wondering why there's such masculinity is, you know, maybe it's just us being, I don't want to say sexist, but, you know, thinking that, oh, she's got to, you know, make a more female movie,
yeah.
But... You know, maybe, you know, she just, this is the story that appeals to her. And if you have a movie about the Iraq War, it's going to be primarily about, you know, males and testosterone. Yeah. And there's like one wife in it or something. You know, there's not going to be a lot of women in it. But of course, yeah, her other movies too, like Point Break. I mean, you know, it's just a dumb action movie.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting that like pretty much her entire filmography is that way. You know, it's like she didn't really, you know, bounce out somewhere along the way and, you know, make like some, you know, weepy period drama or, you know,
she
romantic comedy
now.
Along the way. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what her next move is now.
I mean, I didn't think Hurt Locker was the best film I saw last year, but it was fine and it was better than Avatar because it was shorter.
Yes. I thought it was... far more gripping than Avatar. I mean, there were definitely sequences in Hurt Locker that were quite intense, I thought. And but yeah, I mean, my top three for last year probably would have been like Up in the Air, District 9, and then Inglourious Basterds.
It kind of reminded me of Apocalypse Now, somewhat.
Slightly.
You know, he goes back
some of those elements.
You know, he's like, I could stay here and bang Evangeline Lilly or go back to Iraq. And he chooses Iraq.
Yeah.
Because what does he say to his kid at the end? He's like, you know, as you get older, you realize there's only a couple things you love, maybe just one. And then he's like, back
and then
in
he's
Iraq.
Back there. So what does that say about Evangeline Lilly's prowess in the bedroom?
You know what? I wouldn't even care about her prowess in the bedroom. Just, you could just look at her. That'd be enough for me.
Well, she is your screen center background
I've
on your computer.
I've had it for like a year. See, I'm not like Hurt Locker guy. Although it is fun, like now when I play Battlefield Bad Company 2, I can tell people I'm going to put them in the Hurt Locker.
Nice.
What is the Hurt Locker anyway? I mean, people might think who haven't seen the film that, you know, there's some point part of the movie where he's like, let's do this shit. And he goes to this locker which says like Hurt on it and pulls out like a bomb diffuser. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know what the Hurt Locker actually is. Is it like his home? But no.
Maybe the Hurt Locker is just like the whole thing about the being the bomb guy.
Yeah. Yeah, like maybe he's the Hurt Locker because he's, you know, defusing these bombs and he's keeping the hurt
pain
and the pain confined. Like he's not letting it get out.
Ah, a metaphor.
Maybe that's what it is.
I think that's pretty good.
Oh, that's right. I have this amazing mouse over here.
I wonder if my brother-in-law has seen that movie yet. I wonder if it's realistic. I should ask him.
Yeah, I've heard conflicting reports, like online. There's some veterans, I guess, that are just outraged and think it's ridiculous, but then other veterans say, you know what, that movie was pretty spot on. So I mean, it just depends on your particular experience.
It seemed like that's the kind of stuff that would happen. You know, like there's some sort of bomb, and then all these Iraqis show up and are kind of standing around, and, you know, obviously most of them are, you know, innocent, but maybe someone's got a trigger.
Yeah, I thought that scene, that was like one of the things I thought was great about that movie, was they filmed it in Jordan, and so it definitely has like that Middle East feel. But, you know, it's something like while watching the movie, I'm like, you know, you don't really think about that, but it's like, yeah, over there, you know, there's all these homes, whatever, and people are on the rooftops a lot, you know, and they show it in the movie where, yeah, he's trying to defuse that bomb in that car by the UN or whatever, and more and more people keep showing up on rooftops, and they're just, like, watching him, but then it's like, well, are some of them the ones who put the bomb there? But it's like, yeah, you think about that, and it's like, yeah, in the U.S., you know, you go down the street, you don't see people standing around on rooftops or any of that. You know, it's always very innocuous.
Their country's been blown to shit. You know, many of them are unemployed. I mean, what else are they going to do?
I know, but I mean, I just, you know, found it, it's one of those things you don't think about.
Right, really. Or the guy with the video camera.
Yeah.
It's like, is he filming this for Al Jazeera? Is he just filming it because he wants to see what happened?
Yeah.
You don't know, and you never find out either. I mean, that was one of the good things about it.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the great things about the movie, is it did a good job of kind of making you feel the isolation of being in that role that those characters are in. And, you know, she did a good job too with like the pacing. I thought like the timing of scenes, you know, where they kind of get stuck in that spot for a while. And even you as the viewer, you start to feel like, you know what, they need to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And at the one point, the guy like vocalizes that. He's like, you know, dude, we need to get the fuck out of here, like now. And, and stuff, and so
after Ray Fiennes' big 1 minute scene.
Oh god, that part! I love that where he's like, "That guy's worth $500,000, and he like goes running out there and shoots him.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was interesting. It was definitely a good movie. I mean,
it's worth watching.
Yeah, it's.
Guess none of this really explains the masculinity.
No.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe she just likes telling those kind of stories. You know.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
I mean, I don't know.
She's good at it. I mean, I thought, like, K-19 was a really good movie.
Yeah, it was good.
And Strange Days is not the greatest movie, but it's definitely interesting.
I didn't really care for it, but, I mean, it's definitely a masculine movie. Oh, Angela Bassett was kind of a bad. It happened to her.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I always like seeing her show up.
Yeah, she was like the proto-Michelle Rodriguez.
Good old
Sorry,
Angela
Bassett.
Bassett.
I guess that was kind of an insult. But, yeah, or... I don't know. You know, maybe it's just, you know, our male filter of the world where we're like, well, why would a woman want to make a movie like this? Like, why not make women like movies like Terminator? I mean...
And they like movies like Saw and shit like that. Like, women seem to like those sorts of movies more than men, actually.
It both repels and attracts them.
It's horror.
Have no home.
They associate it with childbirth. Oh, there we go. The death of Tim Burton as a filmmaker.
Oh, God. That video clip I sent you?
Yeah.
Quick, call Johnny Depp and my wife. It's like, how can I not do that? And then they have Tim Burton's cell phone, and there's two buttons on it. Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter.
And Elfman's just sitting there like, oh, yeah, here, I'll do this. And,
oh, that was funny. You know. Johnny Elfman, go! Doo-loo, doo-loo, bum, 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 bum.
Then he's like, no, like the big finale, and then it's like he just reverses it, kind of, or whatever. It's basically the same damn thing.
Or when he was like, we start with a long tracking shot, and I thought it was like, yeah, all his movies do start with long tracking shots.
Yeah, they do.
The one in Ed Wood, though, was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Ed Wood was awesome.
It sure was. And it ends with a tracking shot, too.
That's true.
Yeah, it's, I think pretty much since Ed Wood, I mean, I liked Big Fish a lot, but I just saw it once. I mean, it's not like I bought a VHS tape and raped it or anything. But since...
Wow.
Since Ed Wood, I mean...
That's the real mark of whether or not Ben loves a movie.
Wait, Mars Attacked, what is your opinion on that?
I don't get that. Dale, loves that movie.
A lot of people do. But it's like the Batman Returns. Actually, it's worse than Batman Returns.
Yeah, Batman Returns is a movie I have totally turned on over the years, because back when I was younger, I liked that quite a bit, but now it's virtually unwatchable.
Yeah, I saw Mars Attacks in the theater, because I'm like, oh, yeah, because I actually saw Ed Wood pretty much as soon as it came out on tape.
Okay.
Well, I was like, 20 or 19 or whatever, but, so I was like, okay, yeah, this Mars movie looks good, and I was just like, this is not funny. It's just lame.
Yeah. Looks like shit. It's not funny.
Yeah.
It's stupid. I don't know.
Yeah. Batman Returns is the same way. Like, it's one of those movies a lot of geeks like, or they think.
Yeah.
But if you watch it now, I mean, I saw it in the theater again. I didn't really care for it. Then every time I've tried to watch it on video, I just can't get into it. I tried watching it again off Netflix like 2 or 3 months ago, and I just cannot get into it. It's just, I don't know why. It's actually, people talk about like the first Schumacher Batman being cheesy, but Batman Returns is pretty cheesy.
It's pretty lame. Yeah. Yeah, that's one where like I say, I used to like it quite a bit, but now it's like I just can't even watch it. I mean, the only good part of that movie is Michelle Pfeiffer, really.
Right.
The rest of it's pretty much trash. And then
Selena, you must have bumped your head on your skiing trip.
Oh, God. Well, then I remember, when Sleepy Hollow came out. I remember when I first saw that, I did not care for that movie either.
Shit, I can't remember if I saw that fucking movie. I think...
But people were all, gaga over that, too, because of, how it looked and shit. But I was just, an exploding windmill, seriously? And there was just so much just stupid shit. It had the Scooby-Doo ending. Just...
I can't even remember if I've seen that movie.
Really?
Oh, wait, I did, because isn't it Christopher Walken is the Headless Horseman when he gets his head back?
Yes.
Okay, I think I have seen it.
Yeah.
God, I can't even remember if I saw that fucking movie or not.
Yeah, it's not that good.
And then Planet of the Apes was... Ugh.
See, I actually enjoyed that for some reason. I forgot he did that.
Ugh.
But I wouldn't call it any sort of great film by any means.
And that, of course, is where he met his muse.
Yes. But Big Fish was really good.
Yes.
And I actually liked Charlie and the Chocolate Factory a lot.
I thought it was okay. I liked the music. Danny Elfman did a good job of the songs because he's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Alice in Wonderland, I really have no need at all to see that.
My problem with Alice in Wonderland, well, first of all, I have no interest in it. But second of all, it looks like, just complete CGI bullshit, which makes me think of Mars Attacks.
Yeah, it looks like Mars Attacks type effects.
Ugh.
It's like they said, well, we know we can't really make it look real, so we're just going to make it look like complete trash. Which, yeah. I don't know, ugh.
Hey, wasn't Sarah Jessica Parker in Mars Attacks?
Yeah, she was. So was Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, yeah, and Michael J. Fox, and Annette Bening.
And Tom Jones.
Jesus, everyone is in that fucking movie. And Jack
Nicholson was in it.
Glenn Close.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman.
Oh, God, yeah, that's right.
Shit, what's his face? Martin Short.
That must have been, the height of Burton's power or something. I don't know, because, yeah, everybody just jumped on board that thing.
Oh, no, Alice in Wonderland made $1 trillion, so...
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what we'll get now? We'll probably get, Wizard of Oz. And
well,
be
they're
like,
already...
bum bum.
Yeah. Well, they're already talking about a dark version of Wizard of Oz.
Okay, for 50 points, in Tim Burton's Wizard of Oz, who would be the Wicked Witch of the West?
Helena Bonham Carter. Who would play the Scarecrow?
Oh, gosh, I wonder. Oh, God.
Yeah, I know it's hard to come up with, but...
Some movies you just don't make again. Ugh.
Yeah, it's like I was kind of disappointed. I was listening to Kevin Smith's podcast today, and they were talking about remakes and stuff. And neither him nor Scott Mosier, had any problem with remakes at all. They didn't understand why people had an issue with them.
You know, I like his podcast, but I never really felt Kevin Smith's really that good of a filmmaker.
Yeah. Well, and he even will admit that he's not, like, you know, the greatest filmmaker in the world, but I just found it interesting, you know, that I'm like, well, these are two guys, you know, that are in the industry, which, I mean, I guess, yeah, they'd probably be, you know,
And doesn't he spend a lot of time ripping on Lord of the Rings and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, but then he likes Avatar?
Yeah.
Or Jay and Silent Bob. Well, if Jay and Silent Bob rip on Lord of the Rings, that means Kevin Smith is ripping on Lord of the Rings.
Well, he ripped on it in Clerks 2.
Oh, I knew it was one of those movies.
Which, it's pretty funny. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Isn't it where they just talk about how they just spend the whole time walking?
Yeah, because it's like the Randall character, who, of course, is a big Star Wars nut.
Right.
He's there, and then this other nerd is like a Lord of the Rings guy, and this customer comes up, and I can't remember what he says, but then... under his breath, the geeky guy at the counter is like, one ring to rule them all. And then the customer goes and in the darkness binds them or whatever the hell the line is, you know, and then Randall's just like, oh, Jesus Christ. And so he gets into this whole argument with those guys about it. And he's like, I'll sum up those three goddamn movies for you right now. He's like, all they were was walking. And so then he just like, he's like, here's the first movie, and he just, like, kind of walks, like, 10 feet, and that's, like, all he does. And he's like, here's the second movie, and so he comes back, and then he walks, he gets about halfway, and then he kind of, like, steps to the side, like he almost stepped in shit or something, and then he walks the rest of the way. And he's like, and then here's the third movie, and he goes back to the beginning, walks all the way to the end, acts like he's pulling a ring off his finger, tosses it, kind of, like, looks in, hunches his shoulders, and then he just walks back. And I'm like, you know what?
That's true.
Kind of true, actually.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was interesting, like, their take on remakes, because they were just like, well, people act like, you know, these movies are sacred, and they're just going to get burned or something if they get remade. And it's like, I don't think that's why most people get incensed by a remake. I think it's more just that it's like, can't we get new stories instead of, you know, like, making a shot-for-shot remake of Psycho and... You know, like, what the hell else are they remaking now? You know, it's like, I don't know.
Police Academy.
Yeah, Police Academy, they're going to do.
Who cares?
It's like, who wanted that?
You know, it's like, is it a brand? I mean, why the fuck? I mean, I can see a Superman.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I know you don't agree with that, but I don't really want to see a Christopher Nolan Superman, because it's going to be like, I'm Superman!
Yeah.
Where are the bombs?
Well, I just don't care for Superman anyways. So. And then the one I actually liked apparently was a failure. And so now they have to reboot it again.
You're going to go see Tron 2 for some reason.
Yes.
You know what they say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice.
See, I never thought Tron looked good, though. But I don't know. I don't know why, but that new trailer... Well, even the teaser, I don't know, I just think it, like, looks cool.
Oh, I mean, the trailer looks cool, but it's
And it's
still
got Jeff Bridges in it!
I know, but remember, Steve Lisberger also directed, after he was so successful with Tron, which, as geeks need to be reminded, was in a massive bomb when it came out, he made the movie Slipstream.
So what are you saying, though? I mean, Paxton went to a part of the Slipstream he's never been to before.
Bore me to death.
I mean, come on.
Oh, I still gotta get that... Got to get that line into the pinball machine.
But, yeah, that's right. It is the same guy that's doing it, isn't it?
No, it's a different director. It's like some music video shampoo director.
Of course.
But Steve Lisberger is like a executive producer.
Ah. So we've got like McG, the McG equivalent directing this thing.
I thought McG did okay with Terminator.
Yeah. Yeah, considering he did Full Throttle before that.
Well, he had to fail. No, he had to succeed up.
Yes.
But, oh, I don't know. None of this had to do with the PlayStation Arc.
Okay. That's fine.
Long story short, PlayStation Arc looks like bullshit. Anyone who wanted that shit already bought a Wii. Who cares?
Well, and basically, it's not that this should be surprising, but after they had their little demo yesterday, it's like, wow, they just completely ripped the Wii off. They didn't even, like, try to mask it. Because now, not only do you have, like, the dildo with the light on the end of it, you also have this other controller you hold in your other hand, which is basically the freaking nunchuck from the Wii. It's like, wow, way to just not even try.
Natal is going to be $99 or more.
Nope. The only way that thing touches $99 is if they have like some like killer pack-in game for it, which
maybe
they won't.
Will.
Nah, there's no way that thing will be $99.
Okay,
$70 is the top for
70.
That.
Oh, come on, they have like 70. A controller costs $50, and this thing's going to change the world. They have to make it cost money to make people think it's valuable. It's like perceived value.
No. Nah. I think Microsoft's smart enough to realize we want to sell systems and we want to sell this thing. So they'll actually pack it in with the system at some point.
Mm, yeah.
But then also they have to get over that hurdle. I mean, it's like, seriously, they've got like, you know, 40 million Xboxes in the world already.
Right.
It's like, how are you going to get those people to go out and buy this thing? I just don't see it at $100. Because it's like, yes, they have a wireless adapter that's $100, but that's something people like, you know, quote unquote,
so
need.
They have to make it an impulse buy.
Yes, I think so. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest. If that thing cost $50, I would probably think about buying one. Just because I'd be like, $50, who gives a shit? But if it's like $100, no fucking way.
I don't know, $50, I could buy a lot of beer with that.
I know. But I'm saying the odds of me buying it would be significantly higher, which probably goes without saying. Since
kind of
like
Dale
half
with
the
Wii.
Yes. But, yeah, I just don't see $100 for it. I think Microsoft's smart enough to realize they need to get them into people's homes, and pricing it that high is not going to get them there.
Oh, there was an article on Joystick a couple days ago. Apparently Microsoft has a job opening for a motherboard designer. They want to, like, design an Xbox motherboard. So I wonder if they're making a new, smaller revision of the hardware.
That could be.
Because they also have a new chip called Valhalla, which is a combination GPU and CPU.
Yes.
So, I could see that coming. Actually, 5 years. I could totally see that this fall along with Natal. In fact, I'm going to predict it right now. New model Xbox, same shit, different case, this fall. Swish, 3 points.
Actually, it'd be different shit, different case.
Oh, right.
Or would it be different shit, same case?
Same shit, different case.
Do you think they would slimify it?
Yeah, they're going to slimify it, which means they'll have to sell you a whole new hard drive or whatever, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it'll have a built-in hard drive a la PS3. Again, swish from downtown. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I don't see $100 for it at all. I know you've stood by that from the beginning, but
They should hire me as the industrial designer. I'd be great.
I think they'd be stupid to price it that high. Don't think they're that dumb.
Well, I know we're talking about Microsoft, not Sony, but like people expect the PS3 to be expensive, but nobody could believe how expensive it actually was.
Yeah.
I mean, no way it'd be that much.
But the difference is the PS3 was like bleeding edge technology, you know, cost a hell of a lot to make that thing, where you've said, you know, basically, you know, what you know of the Natal, it's not really that complex of a piece of equipment.
It's just software.
The software's the bigger piece of the puzzle.
Right, because what is it? It's got an infrared light, two cameras, and a microphone, I think.
Yeah, it's like there's nothing to the hardware.
Play movie.
So to me, I look at it like if Microsoft's smart, you know, it's the same thing they do with the consoles, you know, where they try to get them priced down cheap at a certain point because, you know, you sell your hardware at a loss or whatever, so that people will buy it, then you make your money on the software and, like, the accessories and shit. Which, I mean, granted, this Natal thing's kind of an accessory, but, you know, the push seems to be to base a significant amount of your business around this thing for whatever goddamn reason. And so, you know, they're basically treating it like their next console launch. They've basically set it that way. And so if that's the case, you know, it's like, well, here, we'll sell you this cheap. Then you go out and buy, you know, this Wii Sports knockoff that cost us like $5 to make, but you're going to give us $60 to buy it, and we're going to make ass loads of money.
I could see it having a pack-in game. I think
people didn't buy
the Wii, they bought Wii Sports.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be shocked if it doesn't have, like, a game with it. But I still don't see the $100 mark.
They could have, I mean, I'm pretty sure they'll have package deals with the system.
Yeah.
I mean, I could definitely see the, you know, who knows? Maybe they even build it into the console. Maybe that's part of their plan.
That could be.
It's possible.
I definitely think it will be, when Natal comes out, it will be bundled with the system itself in some way, shape, or form. Because, look at that, boom, you know, people that come in that are, like, Wii people and they want to get, like, an HD Wii-type piece of crap, you know, they're like, oh, look, it's got everything right there in the box for me. And
I could buy this 5-year-old technology machine and really step up from the Wii. Well, it would be a step up from the Wii, but...
Oh, it would be.
The console, current console generation needs to die. I'm sick of it.
Wow.
What? It's shit.
What do you mean it's shit?
It's crap!
Oh, Christ.
Games can't even run at HD resolution. It's time to move on.org. You know, even if they just had more memory, that would be enough.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, they'll get there someday. Yeah. I don't know. PS3 and 360 look perfectly fine for me, so...
Well, God of War is supposed to be pretty cool.
And Uncharted 2 looked pretty amazing. You even admitted that yourself.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So...
Drake!
And Gran Turismo 5's going to ship this year, according to Sony. How many times have I heard this in my life?
Well, wasn't it supposed to be in the spring, but that's not happening now?
Yeah, it was supposed to be out, like, pretty much right now in Japan, but it got pushed. But they announced yesterday that it's going to come out this year, and it's... Apparently people in the audience actually, like, laughed when he said that, which I thought was funny.
Oh, my God.
But it's just like, it's just such a running joke. It was with Gran Turismo 4, even, I remember, because it got pushed. That wound up coming out like a year and a half to 2 years after it was originally supposed to. It was just ridiculous. You know, and now Gran Turismo 5 is every bit as much of a running joke. I mean, the PS3 has been out, what, over four years now?
No, almost 4 years.
Almost 4. 2006. 3.5.
Probably like, 4 years by the time this game comes out.
Yeah, it's like 3.5 years. And it's finally just gotten Final Fantasy 13, and God of War 3 finally comes out.
Yeah, that's been like, what, almost 3 years? Yeah.
And then, supposedly Gran Turismo 5 will finally show up at, like, yeah, the 4-year mark. It's just ridiculous.
I'm surprised they've sold as well as they have, considering they really haven't had any of their big titles.
Yeah. And they were
lucky. So it got pushed again. God, what a shock.
Well, it actually got pushed a while ago.
Oh.
But now they came out and said, oh, it's going to ship this year. And it's like, yeah. I will believe that when it is in my warm little hands.
I don't know. It seems like...
Well, they're throwing everything in the kitchen sink into that game. It's going to have like NASCAR in it. And it's going to have, like, the off-road racing. I mean, it's basically like they're putting all these things that used to get, like, their own game all into one package. And so I'm still concerned that the overall quality of the game is going to, like, decline because of that.
But they've been working on it since the, you know, the Steam age.
Yeah. Well, God, when did 4 come out? That's had to have been, like, 5 years ago.
Was it 2005 or 2004?
It's one or the other.
Because Part 3 came out in 2001. I mean, it was the summer after the PlayStation 2 came out. It's pretty fast.
Well, yeah, 1, 2, and 3 all came out pretty quick. I mean, it was like a couple-year cycle between each of them, and then 4 drug its feet. I think 4 was in the spring of 2005, like right around now, So it's like 5 years ago.
And that took like... So that was like just under 4 years.
Yeah.
Now it's been like 5 years.
Yeah.
So the Gran Turismo 6 will take, like, what, a decade to make?
Yeah, that'll probably show up on, like, the PlayStation 5 or something.
That'll show up in The Matrix. Yeah. Tron.
Ugh, yeah.
Jeff Bridges.
The man. Now, he has an Oscar, too.
Yep, the dude has an Oscar.
Yeah. And he was... I don't even know what the hell he looked like at the Oscars. He was like Colonel Sanders or something, I don't know, with that weird beard.
Oh. I think he has a beard in Tron.
Yeah, it looked like it.
Yeah, I'm thinking I might have to sit that one out, sorry.
That's alright, I'm gonna go.
What are those fucking, all these fucking movies coming out on IMAX? Now, the best movie of all time, Hubble 3D, comes out on May 6th.
So that's going to usurp Space Station 3D as being the greatest film of all time?
I think so, but how is it going to get a shot? I mean, Iron Man is an IMAX. Prince of Persia, the confusing trailer of time, has an IMAX.
Yeah,
Someone tells me that movie's plot is just going to be garbage.
I have a feeling that's going to be like something akin to the second Pirates movie.
But right off the bat.
It'll just be like a goddamn made-by-committee train wreck.
I mean, if you look at it, I mean, you know, like, Oily Bond Chick is, you know, basically she's like a Keira Knightley analog, and Jake Gyllenhaal is Orlando Bloom. It's basically Pirates of the Caribbean in the sand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all they have to do is make Pirates of the Caribbean in the sand.
Yeah.
And I guess if they could pull that off...
If they could have thrown, like, Johnny Depp in it, then they would have been in good shape, but I guess they couldn't pull that off.
What am I doing here on the sand? But it's got a, you know, when I first heard about that movie and realized it was like a big Disney Bruckheimer movie, I'm like, okay, this could finally work.
But yeah, that's what I thought too.
It's a video game movie and it has Ben Kingsley in it. Ben Kingsley is the mark of shit. You've seen enough shitty movie nights to know this to be true.
Yeah, he shows up more than anybody else in those things.
And it does have Alfred, I was in Spider-Man 2 Molina, but that
and
might
Raiders
not be
of the
enough.
Lost Ark.
He's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. And he was in
like
Magnolia.
A sheik or something.
That makes sense.
And, of course, Ben Kingsley is the bad guy.
I remember when I first saw, like, screenshots and stuff for that movie, I'm like, you know, this could work. But then I saw the first trailer, and it's like, ugh.
Just all CGI
bullshit.
Just
all CG. Just, I mean, which I guess... Well, I mean, yeah, it does suck. It's like, it's a goddamn movie, you know, that's set in the deserts and stuff. It doesn't need to be overloaded with CG and shit.
Yeah, the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie didn't. I mean, it had some skeletons, but not a whole lot.
Yeah. It's like...
Yeah, like the part where, like, there's got the dagger flying around and, like, this castle's falling down and there's sand. It's like, fuck this.
Yeah.
It doesn't even happen in the game, I don't think. I don't think.
But it's just, yeah, it's just a bunch of shit flying around. I don't know.
Well, like the trailer, you know, it's narrated by what's her face, and you know she's like describing all this
what's
stuff.
What's her
like,
face?
It's like, well, if the trailer needs this much expository dialogue, I mean, how confusing is the movie going to be?
So is that Gemma Arterton that does the?
Yeah, she was
Bond
the one
chick.
In Bond who was
yeah.
like got oiled,
yeah,
oiled to death or whatever happened.
Yeah,
and then he had a quantum of solace and moved on or something.
I actually popped that movie in last night for no apparent reason.
I thought it was okay.
I love the way it begins.
The car chase?
Well, it's just so cool with the camera, like, pushing in across the water. Do you remember that, where it's, like, pushing in on the water towards the tunnel, and then it, like, cuts to the cars, like, very tight close-ups on the cars moving around, and there's not really much sound. And then it cuts back outside, and the camera keeps getting closer, and it keeps getting closer, it keeps cutting back and forth, and finally it just, like, boom, jumps in the tunnel, and then, like, bam, the sound kicks in, and it's, like, the revving engines and stuff.
I sort of remember that.
I just remember that was, like, so cool. It just, like, totally throws you into the action right away. It
was that the one where they
cool.
hit his balls or something?
No, that's Casino Royale.
Oh, right.
Which, that was a really, really good movie.
Yeah, that was good.
But, yeah. Yeah, he got his nuts... I don't know what the hell that torture technique was even called. Just nutcrackers, what it should have been called, I guess. But...
Evil teabagging.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, looks like we've kind of run our course here with time.
Man. Who didn't die last night.
Someone will die.
I was happy with last night's episode.
Last night? You mean 2 nights ago?
Or whenever the hell that was, right. Yes. Which was much better than the previous episode, which I didn't care for.
Yeah, I mean, I've still got hope, but it has been a little
It's been
weird.
A little shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Much more so than any other season,
it
I would say.
It seems like they basically just pass somewhat late in the last season, and now he's the magical answer for everything.
Yeah, I guess.
That's kind of weak.
Well, Jacob was around before last season.
That's true, they talked about him, because he was in
yeah.
that cabin.
Mm-hmm. He's been talked about, he just didn't really show up.
Yeah, I know, but even if, like, some magical guy who controls the island, that's kind of weak. I mean, what's with the polar bears and the... Wait, didn't they explain that?
Yeah, because they were part of the facility where Benry was at, like, previously, like, back when it was the Dharma Initiative, and they were doing experiments. That's why they had the cages that Sawyer
oh,
and Kate
right.
were in.
Oh, Fish Biscuit, right.
Yep.
I am glad they got out of that stupid temple. That sucked. You remember? When they
yeah.
Were...
I don't know. I didn't have a big problem with that.
It just looked like a ride at Disney World. I just couldn't buy it. And then they had that guy from
Maybe
Deadwood.
The Dharma Initiative, you know, had that as their little getaway on the island. They made their own little Disney World temple thing.
I don't
thing.
Think so, because they're too busy dealing with the others. And what is with the alternate timeline?
I don't know, but I enjoy it. That's been, like, my favorite thing of the new season, actually, is the alternate timeline.
Oh, I did like how Benry, you know, didn't do something evil and subverted in the alternate timeline, and then at the same time he kind of redeemed himself.
Yeah.
With whoever the hell that chick is.
Yeah, and see, maybe that's part of the... Maybe deep down, Benry really is good. You know, because it seems like the bad people are kind of aligning with the Locke prick character. You know, like, you've got Saeed, who, in his sequence, you know, he wound up just fucking blowing that guy away, even though the guy didn't have a weapon or anything, and he could have just let him go. Remember, he just killed that dude in cold blood.
So maybe the alternate timeline is to show you that even
these people really are...
What they are. You know, I've never thought Ben was bad. I mean, not only just because his character is awesome, but...
Yeah, he's just kind of ambiguous, but...
Right.
You know, I think most people probably would have tended to put him in the bad camp, on average. But, you know,
and then
so...
Locke is dead.
Yeah.
Of course, he killed Locke. That's not necessarily a good thing to do. But... maybe the alternate timeline is saying, okay, you know, these characters would be this way... even without the island, so this kind of shows who they are.
Yeah. I still think Sawyer's gonna play a card in all of this, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, what about...
LaFleur.
Well, Sawyer's a good guy. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
But he's in the bad camp right now, though, but...
What do you mean? How is he in the bad
camp? Well, he's with Locke.
No, he's not. I thought I told Locke to go away.
Didn't Locke take him down into that hole and they looked at the numbers and shit and he was, like, running around with Locke?
I'm pretty sure he still went his separate way. I think he did.
I mean, I don't think Sawyer's going to end up there. I think Sawyer's the key to everything because he's awesome.
Oh, that's the main reason, huh?
Yes.
Well, I was going to say...
Well, he's gone through, like, the biggest change of anyone, I think, on the island.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, he's...
Well, Benry has too, but yeah, Sawyer definitely, like, you know, has redeemed himself.
Yes.
But he's killed people too, because remember he killed Locke's dad?
Well, yeah, because he's Sawyer and he's awesome.
Well, but Locke's dad was the one who, like, ruined his life, too.
He was a prick, yeah.
Well, I wonder,
ruined his life and Locke's.
So I wonder if there's going to be an episode where Claire and Kate in the alternate timeline, maybe Claire will do something bad to, like, support the fact that she's going to turn evil.
That could be.
Yeah, so, but I never thought maybe Saeed is evil. I mean,
that could be. Maybe deep down, he's got the bite.
Maybe.
I was a little sad by that, because Saeed's been one of my favorites all the way through, but who knows?
Well, it's kind of like, it's a movie thing. Like, no matter how many, if you kill enough people, basically you become unredeemable.
Yeah.
Or if you're like Ed Harris and you find the Lost City of Gold, which is for some reason under Mount Rushmore, you have to die.
Well, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, like, I wonder who else. So you think there's, like, good and evil characters? That's what it's turning into?
Seems to be playing out that way. Like, people are, you know, making sides and, or taking sides. And, I mean, it definitely seems like there's some sort of good versus evil thing kind of playing out or whatever. Like the way the camps are forming and stuff. I guess that's been kind of a theme throughout the show, though, because you had the thing where they kind of split up. You had the people that wanted to stay on the beach and the people that wanted to go back into the caves. And then there were the people that were over in, like, Sawyer Town or whatever the hell you want to call it. And the people that, like, left the island. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Then there's some people that are kind of, like, stuck, like Jin and Kate are kind of, like, in Locke's party, but, you know, I don't think they've, you know, really picked that side. That just happens to be where they are at the moment because they were at the temple.
Well, didn't, like, Benry or someone always say that some sort of conflict was coming? Maybe that's it.
Yeah, it seems like it. I wonder what the whole deal is, too, with the candidates.
I think they're, supposed to become the new Jacob, the new Jacob. Protector.
Yeah.
So then what is Claire, and what about, what's Jack's dad's name?
Christian.
Right. What's his deal? His coffin's still empty.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, Like, I think with that, like, it's the, whoever the evil lock dude is, I think he was, like, screwing with Jack, you know, like, way back early on.
Oh, so
Jack
he took the form. Well, he's a smoke monster, whatever the smoke monster is.
Yeah, but I think he took the form of Christian, and maybe the way it'll all play out, you know, is that Jack really is, like, the chosen one, and the smoke monster dude, like, knew that back then, and so he was, like, trying to get rid of Jack early on or something. Maybe.
Yeah,
that's why
true.
He was, like, screwing with him.
And, you know, Jack actually, all along, he's had to be, like, the leader. I mean, his last name is Shepherd, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, pretty, not very subtle.
No.
Well, I will say, you know, I am kind of in the Seth Rogen from Knocked Up camp with him. But, you know, this season, he's been more interesting. Like, when you see, like, him as, like, a father or whatever, and you see more facets to his character, and it's more interesting that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never had a big problem with him. I mean, he's not, like, one of my favorite characters, but I don't feel as strongly about him as Seth Rogen does.
So where's your favorite character, Desmond?
I don't know, because...
God, Lost Pinball would be cool.
It seems like...
Numbers lit!
Doesn't his name still show up in the credits at the beginning of the show?
I don't know. What happened to
him
anyway?
Because his name's, like, Henry Ian Cusick, isn't it?
Well...
Because I thought I saw his
Whitmore
name
Whitmore is
up.
Penny's dad, so...
Yeah. See, I think Desmond's still going to show up at some point, too, but...
Maybe he'll, like, save the day. You know Locke's going to shoot somebody... not Locke, Sawyer's going to shoot somebody at the end and, like...
Or maybe something... Maybe Penny was never born because of something with the island not being there. Because Widmore was on the island at one time.
But it was, like, in the 1950s.
Yeah. But maybe there's... There's got to be something with that.
The nuclear bomb rearranges his sperm or something?
Well, or whoever Penny's mom is. You know, who knows, maybe there's something there. I got to think there's something, you know, that obviously affected their timeline significantly as well, because Widmore is so about the island and all of that, and...
Well, the incident obviously was them setting off a bomb. Well, no, because... No, wait, it isn't, but the bomb... The bomb destroyed the island, apparently. Or,
yeah,
or
sunk
it
or something.
I'm so confused. It is almost getting to the point where, you know, I've watched every episode. I'm still confused. Like, you know, like two nights ago when, like, Hurley walks up to Jin or whatever and they hug. It's like, okay, so they haven't seen each other in how long? And then it's like, I was like, I can't even keep track anymore.
Yeah.
I do like the pilot guy. He's cool.
Oh, yeah, Fahey. Yeah, he's cool.
But you're the candidate, Fahey. You found the cabin.
Yeah, I'm kind of like that, too, where I'm like, okay. You know, it's like, okay, what's going
on here?
And then
Jin, or not, no, wait, not, no. Sun, okay, Sun's the woman.
Yeah.
Jin was stuck on the island, and then Sun was off the island or something,
yes,
right?
Yep.
Because she had Aaron. So where's Aaron now?
I don't know who the hell's got Aaron now.
It's probably, like, Michael. Oh, no, Michael got blown up.
Yes.
See, again, Michael had to die because he killed people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's...
Yeah, because he killed Michelle Rodriguez.
I mean, I could see Michael Emerson, like, making some sort of noble sacrifice at some point in that movie.
Yeah, I could, too.
Although it is cool how he always worms his way out of whatever's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't sure how he was going to squeeze out of that the other night, but he
but
did.
But he did. So who is that chick with the jolly lips and the gun? What is her purpose? She just kind of showed up?
Well, she was like Jacob's protector or something, I guess, is what she is. Like, she was like his bodyguard, which I guess plays back to why she, if you think back to like...
So why wasn't she there all along? Why did she have to come in on a plane? Because she was in the plane that they landed on the second island, remember?
Was she?
I think, yeah, I remember, because they're flying the plane back,
oh.
And some people get magically teleported out of it, and then the other people just had to land the plane in the airstrip that Ben had them make in season 3.
Yeah.
Oh, God, maybe we should wrap this up. My brain is hurting. All right, well, this has been the J.J. Abrams podcast, episode 70.
But we didn't talk about Star Trek.
Oh, well. So maybe our next podcast we'll record at the Midwest Gaming Classic 2010. We'll see you there.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Goodbye.
Adios.